All right, good morning. Thank you so much for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you'd please find your seat. And we're going to be singing some special songs today. We have some special handouts that you should have gotten as far as with your bulletin. I don't know if our ushers have those. If there's someone that does not have one or does not have those, will you guys try to get to them and try to give them some of these? We're going to be singing our first one's Give Me Oil in My Lamp. It's a song we sang on Friday night, and so we'll be singing this again. Also, it's got some motions with it, so if you can do some of the motions, that'll be a lot of fun. But we're going to sing Give Me Oil in My Lamp to start our service this morning. There in the first. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, 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 keep it burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Hide your word in my heart, keep me burning. Hide your word in my heart, I pray. Hide your word in my heart, keep me learning, 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 keep me learning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me hope in my heart, keep me yearning. Give me hope in my heart, I pray. Give me hope in my heart, keep me yearning, yearning, yearning. Keep me yearning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
Good singing. Let's go ahead and pray this morning. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for giving us this opportunity to have a service and to sing praises unto you and for us to really celebrate with our children and with our youth and encourage them to serve the Lord. I pray that you would just bless this conference, that you'd bless this day, and that we would all try to serve you better. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to go to our hymn books for one song, Jesus Loves Me. You may even just know it by heart. 187 in your hymn books. Jesus Loves Me, 187 there on the first.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones who Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Jesus loves me.
good singing, all right? We're going to go through our announcements this morning, and thank you for joining us. We are having this weekend our Heritage of the Lord Conference, and so the sermon Friday this morning and this evening is going to be a little bit more focused on the youth and kind of participating in the services. And I really appreciate everybody who has been coming to our conference so far. We had a great crowd on Friday. We also had a spelling bee on Saturday, and it went really well. And we got to enjoy a lot of fun activities and cookouts. Thank you so much to all of our volunteers and people who have cooked. We had a lot of extra leftover pizza and hot dogs and stuff from some of our events. And so we'll be setting that out in the fellowship room. I don't know that it can necessarily feed everyone, but it is a lot of food. And so if you want to stick around after the service, you can help us and we'll try to set out as much food as we have as a leftover. If you'd like to have some of that, we'll put that in our fellowship room. I also want to just thank all of our volunteers who've helped us like clean and just pick stuff up and did all kinds of things. Let's just give them a round of applause. Because here's the thing, I saw what y'all did to this place before they cleaned, okay? And so they did a really good job, and we really appreciate you guys. And also thanks to Alex for bringing us donuts this morning. I'm sure everybody liked. Let's give him a round of applause. All right, here we go. Yeah, some donuts. Everybody likes the guy that brings donuts, okay? So that's, if you need a tip in life, that's how you get people to like you, all right? Also, today we have a normal service schedule. So we are still just having our regular soul winning from 2 to 4, and we have the evening service. I'll be preaching that at 4:30 as well. But we are continuing our conference and our theme. Today, we also are doing an elongated announcements because I'm going to be doing some Bible drill and sword drills with our kids for this morning's service. But I want to get through our bulletin quickly. On the inside, we have the service times. And we noticed if Sunday morning, Sunday evening, also Wednesday evening. Wednesdays, we've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes. And I just want to make one note. This Wednesday, I'm not going to be preaching on Ecclesiastes. And there's been a lot of drama that has been going on with our church and other church and all this stuff. I don't want to address that because we're having a kids' conference and we're having a lot of fun. So I'm going to be addressing that Wednesday. But I will say this. If you're even kind of nervous, don't even show up because it will not be a gracious sermon at all. And I will be addressing things with the raw truth. And that's my fair warning. All right? All right, so let's go ahead and keep with announcements. There is soul winning that meets here at 2 for 4. We have regional soul winning. Down below, there's church stats. And then on the right, there is the expecting ladies. Also, we have our prayer list. Please be in prayer for our church. We have several people that we can be in prayer for. Down below, we have some upcoming events. There's a fall swap. And actually, Miss Alicia Naeem is the one that's helping us with that. And so if you have any questions, you need some details, she would be a great person to ask and wants to help with that. October 31st is our Texas chili cook-off, and that is, of course, no beans. It's not just no beans, it's no fillers. I think people don't understand, like, Texas chili cook-off, it's about the sauce and the meat. It's not about what fillers you can put in there. That's why beans aren't allowed. Just like we don't put works in our salvation, folks, okay? And look, there's nothing wrong with works. We just don't put it in our salvation. People falsely accuse me all the time of like not liking beans. And I'm just like, I like beans. I love beans. My dad grew up eating only pinto beans, and then he would just make me pinto beans all the time. But I don't put pinto beans in my chili. And you know, if I get chili from like Wendy's, I just eat around the beans, okay? You know, I'm like, you know, I like Texas chili, okay? Even when they serve me something else. Now, if you want to enter the competition, you got to show up with your chili before 6 p.m. So you got to try and get it here before then so we can get all the samples ready. We'll get a few judges, and there'll be winners and losers. That's how competitions work, okay? There's no participation trophy because it's not a kids' conference, all right? And but at the same time, we'll be trying to eat, too. So you can show up, enjoy, have some chili, play games, and we can just fellowship together. I can't remember, what night is that of the week? It's a Thursday. Okay, so it's a Thursday. So we're still having Wednesday service, but we'll just have a Thursday fellowship, so you're welcome to join us for that. November 16th is the Miami Soul Winning Marathon, if you'd like to participate with us in that. And I think that's really all I have as far as bulletin announcements, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to do two different games with the kids. First, I'm going to do a trivia, and then we're going to do a sword drill, okay? I also have this, but if you kids get a question right, you can come down and you can pick a prize in our trivia questions. You only get one. After you've won, you can't win again in that round. If you, in the Bible drill section, you could, if you win twice, you get a piece of candy. So I'm going to ask some questions. This is for age groups specifically, though, okay? So the first group that I'm going to do is 8 years old and under. So who's 8 and under? That's you guys, okay? So whenever I ask the question, you're going to try and raise your hand real high, and I'm going to call on you, and you have to answer the question correctly, okay? But y'all can put your hands down, all right? Pastor Shelley says, all right, there you go. All right. You can put your hands down. I'll try my best to pick on the guy that puts their hand up first, but I'm not always perfect on that, okay? So you can try to help me, but I'm going to ask the question. As soon as you know the answer, you're going to lift your hand up, and I'll call on you if you know what it is, okay? How many people were crucified with Jesus? Are you 8? Come on down. Good job. All right. You can pick whatever you want. Here's the second question. For 8 and under. All right. Who were the 10 commandments given to? Come on down. Good job. Who betrayed Jesus for money? Bam, got it. Come on down. What did God do with Adam's rib? Bam, nailed it. She had to know that, okay? It's inside, all right? It's built in. What color was the sea that God parted? Bam, nailed it. Come on down. Good job. All right, so now we're going to move up the age to 13 and under. So if you're 8 and under, you can still answer the question, but now we're letting the 13-year-olds, the 13 and under, all right? All right, just making sure. What did Jesus use to drive people out of the temple? Bam, come on down. Who baptized Jesus? John? Yeah, come on down. But it wasn't just John, it was John the Baptist, folks, okay? Not the Methodist, all right. Or the Catholic. What is the longest chapter in the Bible? Which chapter? All right, I'm going to have to ask someone else. Ethan. Bam, come on down. What was the first epistle written by Paul in chronological order in the Bible? What's the first book chronologically in the Bible written by Romans? Bam, nailed it. I may have said that wrong. I meant like in the order of the Bible, not necessarily the time, because I don't know the time, sorry. You got it right. You knew what I meant, all right? It was the spirit of the law, okay. Who was David's best friend? Come on down. All right, this is 19 and under, okay? So anybody that's 19 or under, all right, you got it? Okay. Who turned into a pillar of salt? Nope, wrong. Nope. There we go. All right, come on down. I don't know what happened to Judas's wife, but it probably wasn't good. All right. Who committed the first murder in the Bible? Come on down. Who said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord? Nope. Nope. You already answered. Jehu. All right. Yeah. He's schooling these teenagers. Who revealed Samson's secret? Come on down. All right, one more for the Bible trivia. After Elisha spake, how many children were killed by bears? Nailed it. Come on down. All right, now we're going to do some sword drills, okay? So all you kids need to have your Bibles. And the way this is going to work is I'm just going to pick a section in the Bible, a verse in the Bible, and when you have it, you have to just stand up. Once you stand up and I call on you, you have to read it right away or quote it right away. If you can quote it word perfect, it counts just as much as reading it, okay? So whenever I say the chapter of the Bible, now, you have to be fair because you have to start with your Bible closed, okay? If you want to do a real Bible drill, you have to start with it closed, okay? And you can hold it out like this, and as soon as they say the verse, then you can turn wherever you need to go, all right? So we're seeing how quick you are with your sword, all right? Everybody ready? John 3:15. Sorry, that was 16. I tricked you. All right, here you go.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life.
All right, come on down. Good job. All right, next one. I meant to do this. I want to do this for 8 and under first, but you didn't. It's fine. I didn't say that clearly, okay? 8 and under for these first few ones, okay? So if you're 8 and under, Romans 10:8. Good job. All right, come on down. Acts 1:1. Treatise, you got it. Theophilus. Bam, nailed it. Good job. I'm giving y'all tough words. Genesis 6:6. Good job, good job, good job. All right, so now we're gonna go to 13 and under, okay? So if you're 13 and under, you can do this as well. Ephesians 2:9. Nailed it, not of works, lest any man should boast. Good job. Judges 20, verse 5. You ready? Go ahead. Concubine. Good job, good job. Come on down. Psalm 12:1. Fail, but good job. Come on down. Second Timothy 3:16.
And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
You read verse 15. That was a good verse, but 16. Second. Great job. Come on down. All right, so this is all teens, all right? All teens. Ecclesiastes 3:1.
To everything there in the season and a time to every purpose under the heaven.
Come on down. Genesis 3:16. Amen. He shall rule over thee. First John 4:1. Amen. Come on down. All right, we'll do two more. Revelation 20:10. Well, you already did it.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever.
Come on down. One more. Romans 1:28. Amen. Come on down. All right. Good job. Let's give them a round of applause, everybody. All right. Good job. So we're going to be singing our third song. It's going to be in our handouts. My God is so great. My God is so great. And this one's got some emotions with it, too. So if you can follow along with me on My God is so great. First, my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. He made the trees, he made the seas, he made the elephants too. My God is so big. Song, I'll tell you what. We're going to go ahead and turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 this morning. Follow along as it's read. 1 John chapter number 2. As the musicians play, we'll pass our offering plate, but please turn your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2.
First John chapter 2, the Bible reads, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this conference, for all the children that are here. And Lord, I pray that you fill Pastor Shelley with your spirit now, enable him to preach the word of God with boldness, and help all of us in the room to pay close attention to the message you've laid on his heart. And I pray you bless all aspects of it. We love you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I want to look at verse number 12 again. The Bible says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And the Bible, again, talks to children in a lot of different contexts of the Bible. Now, here it's talking about young children and the fact that they could be saved, because the Bible is describing how their sins are forgiven. The only way to get the forgiveness of sins is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible makes it clear that to go to heaven, you have to put all of your faith in what Jesus did for you. And even a young child, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, they can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved. And the Bible makes it clear that even young children can understand all of these concepts. They can put their trust in Jesus Christ. And myself included, when I was 5 years old, I heard a gospel message week after week in church, and I did not want to go to hell, because hell is a scary place. It's a place of torment. It's a place of fire. It never ends. That's right. And the only way for you to go there is to put all of your faith in Jesus Christ, okay? It's not by being a good person. It's not by going to church. It's by deciding that what Jesus did, his death, burial, and resurrection, paid all of your sins, and that by believing in him, you would be saved. And it is a decision. that you have to make. Your mom can't make that decision for you. Your dad can't make that decision for you. Only you can make that decision. But God also wants to give you the confidence, young children, that those of you who have believed in Jesus Christ, you are saved and all of your sins have been forgiven you. This is important because as a young child, you have not committed the worst sins that you're going to commit in your life. All of the bad sins you're going to commit in your life are going to be in the future. Kids, people do not sin the worst in their life at ages 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Now, some of you parents that only have little kids, you're thinking like, I don't know. But the reality is, when children get saved at a young age, we're going to sin worse in the future than we did in the past. But this is what God wants to comfort you with. Your sins are already forgiven you. They've already been forgiven you. If you're not saved, you need to ask your mom and dad or ask someone here, I want to learn how to believe in Jesus Christ and what that means. And it's an important step. My wife, when she was young, and forgive me the age, I think it was 7, is that? Okay, she was 7. She asked her mom, Mom, I want to be saved. And her mom sat down with her on the bed and showed her the Bible and showed her how to be saved and showed her what it meant to believe in Jesus Christ. And she called on the name of the Lord with her mother in the bedroom and got saved at a young age and got baptized at a young age. I prayed and asked Jesus to save me when I was 5. And then I went and tried to get my neighbor saved, you know. I don't know that I was successful, but, you know, in my 5-year-old mind, I was just trying my best to tell them. And here's the thing. Young children can know these things. Now, not every 5-year-old, not every 6-year-old, not every 7-year-old is going to necessarily have the maturity or the mental capacity to understand these things, and that's okay. But many do, and we as parents should come alongside of them and encourage them and show them what the Bible says and give them an opportunity to genuinely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for themselves. And you know what? I believe in getting people saved young. I believe in letting your young children hear the gospel and getting saved. Now, of course, not just repeating something, but actually understanding the concepts, understanding what it means to be saved. And you know what? That's what we're going to be doing this morning, is we're going to be testing ourselves a little bit on if we can tell if we're saved or unsaved, or really just when someone makes a statement, are they saved or unsaved, okay? Or are they saved or not saved? And so the title of my sermon this morning is this, Saved or Not Saved. Okay, now I'm going to need some volunteers in a moment, but I want to just make it clear where we're going. Go to 1 John 4 for a second and look at verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out of the world. This says you can't trust anybody. You can't trust everybody. And you know what, children? When I was your age, I thought that every church that I drove by was a good church. I thought that being Catholic or being Methodist or being Baptist or being non-denominational or whatever, I thought it was just they did music different. But you know what? Those churches are not all good. In fact, the Bible teaches that most churches are not good churches. And most churches do not teach salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, okay? And so it's important for us to test the Spirit, meaning we're going to try people, we're going to test them and see, is this person really saved? What do they know from the Bible? And this is an important concept that we all need to realize, because most preachers are false. Most churches are false. And most churches do not believe what the Bible says. And so you kids are going to help me today, and we're going to test some spirits, all right? So we're going to try some spirits this morning. I want to go to one more place. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Go to the left a little bit in your Bible. There's a bunch of T's that run together there. And I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Eli, you got this one nailed, okay? You read it earlier for us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse number 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, the crazy thing is there's a lot of young children in our church that know more about salvation than most preachers out there. You know, everybody wants to think you have to go to seminary to learn what the Bible says. Yet we have 5, 6, 7-year-olds in here that could school many professors in the Bible. That they have better doctrine. And you know what? You can be wise unto salvation. You can be a young child and know what the Bible says about salvation and how to be saved and how someone is saved or not saved. You know, take your kids out soul winning and they'll start learning, wow, most people just aren't saved. And they give a lot of bad answers at the door. So here's the thing. I need a volunteer that's between the ages of 16 and 19 that wants to help me the entire sermon. You're not going to be sitting. All right, come on down. I might swap it. Maybe I'll swap. Charlotte, I'll swap halfway and you can do it for me, okay? That way you're not doing it. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to give a statement, okay? And if you can, if you know, based on the statement, what you think, if the person's saved or unsaved, you're going to raise your hand, okay? If you think that they're saved or unsaved, you're going to raise your hand, you're going to answer the question. If you get the question right, you can come on down and get a piece of candy. I'm also going to give a verse that answers that question for us, okay? If you can find that verse, you're going to stand up, and Brother Teddy, can I call you Teddy, is that all right?
Yes.
All right. Brother Teddy is going to come to you, and you're going to read the verse for the whole church, okay? So we're going to be doing two different things. I'm going to read a statement, and you're going to tell me, do you think that person was saved or unsaved? If I agree with you, you can get a piece of candy, all right? Also, I'm going to give a verse that I want you to go find, and we're going to read a verse to give us an idea of whether we think that person was saved or unsaved. Okay, you guys ready? You going to play this game with me? We're going to try the spirits, and we're going to see if they're saved or not saved. So when I'm done making the statement, raise your hand, and I'll try to call on you. You're going to tell me if you think this person's saved or unsaved. So if you meet someone, and this is what they say, all religions go to heaven. Bam, nail unsaved. All right. Go to John 14:6. So this is any kid that gets it first and stands up. All right, here, Teddy. You got to pay attention.
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen. All right, you can get a piece of candy too. Hey, Brother Teddy, I'm going to help you here, okay?
Okay.
I just want you to mute and unmute between readers, okay? So it's red is good. There you go. All right. Good job. And you can go find them. They don't have to necessarily. You can come on down or he can come find you, okay? The second statement. We are saved by works.
Unsaved.
Well, you already. Eli. Unsaved. Come on down. Unsaved. You guys are doing pretty good. I want you to go to this place in your Bible. Ephesians 2:8-9. Come on. Amen. Good job. These kids are ready. God does not have a son. Yep, unsaved. That was for sure. That's what the Muslim will say. The Muslim will say that God doesn't have a son. Now, here's a verse that I want us to go to. 2 John 9. Wait, let him.
Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son.
Amen. So notice in the Bible it says that the doctrine of Christ includes both the Father and the Son. You can't have one without the other, because without a son, you don't really have a father. Without a father, you don't have a son. And so this is a very important concept. And, you know, to be saved, you have to believe on the Son of God. And it demonstrates the love that God has toward us, that he'd be willing to sacrifice his own son. If Jesus wasn't his son, then it's not really that big of a sacrifice, is it? But being willing to sacrifice his son is the essence of the gospel. And we we go out and we talk to people, if they're mixed up on the Son, on the Father, on these concepts, you know, the Bible says they're just not saved because they abide not in the doctrine of Christ. Notice what it said in verse 9, they hath not God. It doesn't say like they're just a little screwed up. Now, again, these are important concepts because there's some things you can be screwed up on the Bible and you're still saved. Of course, many people don't know a lot of things in the Bible. Many people don't know the stories. Many people are confused on standards. Many people are confused on a lot of stuff. But you know what? There's some things that are what we call salvific doctrine, or they're doctrines about salvation. They're about what it means to be saved. And if someone is transgressing in that doctrine, they're believing false doctrine, then we have to question if they're even saved. And the Bible's really clear, this person hath not God. Here's my next statement. Salvation is a free gift.
That's saved.
Saved. Saved, saved, saved. All right, come on down. So this is the verse I want you to go to. Romans 5:18.
There as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life.
Amen. Good job. You know, I really like this verse and the other ones in Romans, because if you'll notice, in verse number 15, it says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So you have in verse 15 of Romans 5, the Bible telling us that salvation is a free gift. It says in verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Notice the Bible says in verse 15 it's a free gift. Notice in verse 16 it says it's a free gift. And then if you just skip down to verse 18, what does it say? Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. What an important verse in the Bible. I mean, this verse is just so clear to destroy so many false doctrines. The Bible is crystal clear that it's the righteousness of one. Meaning what? You're not righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. We're not good enough. We cannot enter into heaven by our righteousness because no one else has righteousness. Salvation is by the righteousness of one. It's not by our works. It's not by how good we are. And notice the Bible is crystal clear that it's a free gift. By the righteousness of one, the free gift. And notice it also says, came upon all men. Meaning what? We're not Calvinists here, folks. Amen. Meaning that salvation is offered to every single person. And it's offered to every single person as a free gift. And it's offered to every single person only through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Bible is crystal clear that, children, we will never be good enough to go to heaven on our own. Right. It's not about being good to go to heaven. Now, you need to be good. It's not to go to heaven. And the thing is we all make mistakes, we all sin, and we all will sin until we die. But remember, little children, your sins are forgiven you. And Jesus Christ offers us the free gift. In verse 15, it's free. In verse 16, it's free. In verse 18, it's free. And this is the eternal word of God because it's always been free to us. Why? Because of our invite. It says Jesus paid it all. Right on the front, doesn't it? What does that mean? It's free to me. It's free to me. What a great blessing that we have in the Bible. Let's go to my next statement here. We are justified by faith. Come on down. All right, this is a verse I want you to go to. Galatians 2:16. Just wait.
knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Amen. Good job. And look, these are great verses to just have in your memory that you know off the top of your head when you're going soul winning, that when people start bucking and people start getting controversial or arguing or not sure, hey, let's just go to another verse that's really clear on this. You know, this is not a verse that I typically show in my soul winning, but it's another verse that I could have in my arsenal that if I just need another one, I'll just go to another verse. And this is a tip that I give, is that if I'm kind of been talking with someone for a while and I'm not really making much progress, but I haven't really showed them a verse in a while, just go to another verse. Because, you know, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so what really is going to be compelling is not really our logic all the time. It's just another verse and just another statement coming from the Bible. And here's just another great verse. I mean, this is a long verse. It's really detailed. And I like the first word because, let's be honest, if we talk to people that are not saved, they always say no one can know. They always say no one can be sure. But what does it say? Knowing. Hey, we know. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even meaning specifically, we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. No one will get to heaven based on what they did. You either go to heaven because you believed in Jesus, or unfortunately you go to hell. It's that simple. And you know what? Being raised in a great church won't save you. Having great parents won't save you. Going out soul winning won't save you. Getting baptized won't save you. The only thing that will save you is by one time putting your faith in Jesus Christ, saying, you know what? I believe Jesus died on the cross and he paid all my sins. Not just today, not just yesterday, but my entire life. And I'm going to ask him to give me salvation as a free gift. And you put your faith in him and then you're saved. And you know what the Bible says? You can be wise unto this, because how many verses have we already gone through? Let's do another one. Here's another statement. We are sealed with the Holy Ghost. Come on down. We're making some good soul winners here. Here's the verse I want to go to. Ephesians 1:13. Here, wait for Teddy to come over here.
In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen. Good job. You can come get a piece of candy if you want. So the Bible says, in whom ye also trusted. Notice that this is something that happened in the past. Salvation is a past tense event. It's not an ongoing process. It's not something we have to do every day. We don't have to pray every single day. And you know, when I was little, I went to some bad churches and I felt this pressure to get saved every single week. And the reality is, you don't have to get saved every week. You get saved once. It's a one-time decision to believe in Jesus Christ, and then we can know that we have eternal life. And one of the things that God does for us when we believe in Jesus Christ, according to the Bible, says, after that you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of us when we get saved. And that's a special thing, because children, when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and he can help you to understand what the words of the Bible mean. You know, you don't have to have somebody else to teach you, but it is important to still ask your parents. It's still important to ask other people that are saved. It's important to listen to your pastor. It's important to listen to preachers. And also, it's important to really listen, though, to the Holy Spirit. Because people can be wrong, but the Holy Spirit will never be wrong. He'll guide you into all truth, and you've been sealed with him. He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so, you know what? You children, You need to read your Bible tomorrow on your own. You need to go by yourself somewhere and just open the Bible and read it. And if you don't understand something, you know you can pray and you can ask God for the Holy Spirit to help you understand that passage. And you know what? There's been plenty of places in the Bible that I did not understand. And then I prayed and then I read it again and I didn't understand. And then I prayed and I asked and I didn't understand. And I did this a lot. And then later, at some point, it's like the Holy Spirit just turned on the lights and now I understood that passage. And you know, that's the cool thing about the Bible is we'll never understand all of it. And so when the parts we get to the Bible that we don't quite understand, we need to constantly pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us. And you know what? We're sealed with Him. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. We're destined for heaven once we have the Holy Spirit. Here's the next statement I want to make. Faith without works is dead and not saving faith. Unsaved. Yeah, there you go. That's a triggering word for me. Here's where I want you to go in the Bible. Romans 4:5.
But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
Amen. The Bible makes it clear that salvation is literally no works whatsoever to such an extreme that if someone believed in Jesus and did nothing for him, they would still go to heaven. And you know, as aggressive as our soul winning is, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few people in heaven that we've gotten saved like that. You know, I mean, we're going out there, and I mean, just think about it. There's plenty of people that get saved, and they really just, they're just like, thanks, and then it's just like, just close the door. It's like, you never see them again. You're probably never going to see them again. But you know what? They got saved. And you know, people get all mad at us, like, well, where are all the people that you're getting saved? I don't know. You know, I don't even know where you're at, okay? I'm not following you around. What do you want, CCTV? I mean, I don't like Big Brother wondering where I'm going all the time. But you know, it's like, I would way rather believe my doctrine than yours. Because at least my doctrine, there's going to be a lot more people in heaven. Your doctrine, it's like, the frozen chosen over there or something, right? I mean, think about it. It's like if soul winning doesn't work and not even most of the people coming to church are saved, wow, that's just really sad. You know, I'd rather believe that when I go out and I offer someone a free gift that it's actually free. You know, I mean, if it's a free gift, don't you think at least one person just took the free gift and didn't really do anything about it? But, you know, a lot of people, they're too prideful to believe what the Bible says. And you know why they're prideful? Because they're lazy. Because they don't want to go out and preach the gospel. They don't want to get people saved. And you know what? When you go into the ghetto and you preach to someone, you get them saved, and then you never see them again, well, no one's going to ever congratulate you. No one's going to, there's not like this thing on our arm that like, this like tattoo that like ticks up every time you get someone saved. It's like a movie like this where you have like a timer on your wrist or something. It's like, it's not like, oh, I got another one saved, and I can be like, hey, look, man. It's not like I'm getting teardrops tattooed on my face or something. You know, like crosses or something. Or an alpha and omega, okay? It's not like I'm getting that tattooed on me, and so you can know, like, oh, this guy got saved. You're like, you could run into somebody, you have no idea if they're a soul winner, if they've gotten anybody saved, whatever. You know what? I walk by faith, not by sight anyways. You know, I'm not... And I don't even necessarily keep a journal. I'm not against you if you do. But I don't keep this journal of just like, all right, now it's 378. Because frankly speaking, I don't even know. And it doesn't even matter to me. Because what matters to me is what I can do right now. And God has a better tally system than me anyways. Okay? Because I don't even know how it works. Now, I'm for us keeping some numbers as a church and turning those in and having stats and trying to encourage ourselves. And you know what? God's a numbers guy. He wrote a book called Numbers, okay? Like the Apostle Paul makes it clear he's getting people saved. People get all like, oh, you're just bragging about yourself. You got somebody saved. It was Jesus. Of course it was. You really think there's any soul winners out there that are like, I got them saved, Jesus didn't? What a straw man argument, right? And it's them virtue signaling about how they're not prideful when in fact they're actually prideful and they're lazy and they don't go soul winning, all right? Sorry, I'm getting a little bit of preaching in this morning. But Romans 4:5, let's keep reading. I like verse 6. Even, meaning specifically, as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed the righteousness without works. Hey, even in the Old Testament, they were preaching the same free gift salvation that it was without works. Right. Even David described it. What did he say? Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, I love this verse in context of what we started with. Remember, little children, your sins are forgiven you. And notice what David is saying. Hey, God's not going to impute your sin. So even when I sin, God's not going to hold that against me when it talks about going to heaven. Now, of course, we need to still ask for forgiveness every single day. We still need to make amends. We need to repent. And we need to make sure that we're not sinning as much as we can. The Bible gives us a direction to be perfect. And when God said that, he wasn't joking. He meant it. The expectation is perfection, but the reality is grace. And we have to understand that God wants us to follow his commandments, but that's not how we get into heaven. It's by believing in Jesus Christ. Now let's swap our... You did a good job, Teddy. Come on, let's give him a hand. All right, good job. Miss Charlotte, you want to help me? Red means on. It's off, all right? So we're going to go through some more statements here in just a moment. We're testing the spirits. We're trying the spirits. And look, this is the most important discernment you're going to ever get in your entire life. Being saved is the most important thing you can do. And the second most important thing you can do in your life is getting other people saved. And you should never take other people's salvation for granted. You have to ask them. And that's what we call confrontational soul winning. Now, it doesn't mean that we're like pulling out a gun and like, if you die today, you know, are you sure you go to heaven? That's not the type of confrontation. We're not going to grab them and get them in a headlock and try to like, hey, you're going to listen to the gospel today. But what we're going to do is we're going to confront what they believe. We're going to confront what's in their heart. And how do we tell what someone's in someone's heart? We don't do open heart surgery. We ask them what they believe. Because you know what? There's some people that have literally gotten a new heart. Their heart was cut, their chest was cut open, and someone took a different heart and literally put it into their heart. But you know what? Salvation is not a physical thing, it's a spiritual thing. And there's a spiritual heart somewhere in there. And the way that we test that, the way we figure out what's inside of that, is what comes out of here. And so we ask people what they believe. You know what I don't look? I don't look and see how godly they look on the outside. I don't look to see what their physical church attendance is like. I don't ask what their physical baptism record looks like. I don't ask them what kind of sins they have going on. You know what I ask them? What do you believe? Because salvation is by faith. Salvation is doctrine. Salvation is testing the spirit of what kind of spirit they have. And you know, the unsaved person doesn't have the Spirit of God. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And so they're not going to give the right answers. Of course, a lot of people have been tricked into parroting biblical phrases, but they don't understand them. And when you prod a little bit, that's when you can figure it out. Here's the next statement I want to make. Jesus is one of many gods. Unsaved. That's like a Mormon. But you know, the Mormons are tricky. They won't tell you that at first, okay? You have to prod. You have to prod. Or you can just recognize when they have an elder badge and they're 19 years old that they're a liar, all right? I want you to go to your Bibles, 1 John 5:20.
And we know that the Son of God is come and now, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Amen. Good job. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ is the true God. He's not one of many gods. He is God. And there's a lot of good verses on this. John 1:1 is a good verse. But I want to show you this verse because You know, when you're confronting someone that's got some goofy doctrine on this or has been influenced by a cult, it's pretty much impossible to win these people that are in the cult. But some people have been influenced by Mormons or influenced by Jehovah's Witness or influenced by some of these weird groups. You know, you want to show them some verses like this that are clear, like Jesus is the true God, okay, and eternal life. And that's who we're believing in. Here's the next statement I want to make. Jesus paid only small sins.
Unsaved.
Man, you kids are smart. Kids are wise in salvation. 1 John 1:7. Eli? Here. Just wait a second.
But if we walk in the light as he in the light, we have fellowship one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Amen. Good job. You know, I really like this verse. I actually do use this one soul winning a lot because notice it says that he cleanseth us from all sin, not just the small sins. He paid for every single sin. And that's a really good verse that talks about what Jesus did for us. Here's my next statement. You are not saved by works, but by faith. Nope. You got it right, but. It's saved, all right. Good job. Y'all both can come down. You can come down too. Y'all get a piece of candy. It was kind of tricky the way I worded that. Romans 3:28. Ethan, can you go over there?
There we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Amen. Good job. Yeah, and honestly, Romans chapter 3, I think, in some cases, even underutilized by a lot of our soul-winning techniques, and I'm not against that, but if you really think about some times past soul-winning, it used to be called the, quote, Romans Road. Who's heard that term, like a Romans Road? They really didn't even jump around the Bible much. They pretty much just literally went through Romans 3, maybe showed a few verses out of 4, 5, and would go to 10. Because if you read Romans chapter 3, verse 23 through 28, it's really powerful. Like if we just kind of just focus in on what it's saying in these verses, like there's just a lot of great information that's really powerful. Look what it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. There's another free word that you got there. Freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Notice, we're only justified freely. Not anything we did, only by what he did. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So again, he's saying the only person that has righteousness, the only righteousness that we can declare in any way is Jesus. That means you cannot say, well, I also go to church. Well, I also follow the commandments. Well, I also haven't done this. No, we can only declare Jesus Christ's righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. So I'm justified because of what he did, not because of what I did or will do or would do. That's what some people believe. Well, if you're willing to give up your sins, you're saying, no, it's just by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. That's when you ask, this is like a question just like rolls off the tongue. Where is boasting then? It's just like, well, wait a minute. If it's literally nothing, if it's absolutely free, if I did absolutely nothing, If it's only about Jesus, then how can I brag about it? It's excluded. You know, that's why it's so frustrating. You go to churches today and they want to give a testimony and it's about them. Because salvation is not about them. It is excluded. It should be, if we said, hey, come up here and explain your testimony, it should be the exact same between all of us. And if it's different, you can find another church, all right? Or we'll try to get you saved. But at the end of the day, we should have the exact same testimony. Romans 3:23, John 3:16, Romans 10:9 and 10, all of the clear salvation verses, that is our testimony. And it then expands, by what law of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So according to the Bible, it's crystal clear. It's already been concluded. We've already established that fact. Now think about this. If you were writing a book, and you're making a really important point, and you proved it over and over and over, and then you say, in conclusion, we have concluded, in the full conclusion of the matter, we've established the man is justified by faith. Do you think you need to elaborate on that anymore? And of course, I'm not saying there aren't other verses in Romans that give us the same message, but he's moving on to different subjects now, folks, because he's already concluded that faith alone is what saves you. And then people like to go to like Romans 7 or 8 to teach you how salvation is by works. Well, you forgot that we already concluded in chapter 3 that it was by faith alone. We already figured that out. You know, it's just like, it's like trying to use multiplication to prove addition wrong. And it's like, no, we've already established addition. Now we're moving on to harder math, okay? Just like in the gospel and just like the Bible, after we establish salvation, now we're going to move on to harder concepts and other aspects of Christian living. But you know what? If we want to know what the Bible says in the book of Romans about salvation, let's go to the places before the conclusion, not after the conclusion, okay? That's a good tip that you can have there. Here's my next statement, kiddos. You must follow the commandments to be saved. Tatum, come on down. Galatians 3:11. You've already read for me. You too. I want a new reader. You've read for me, I think, too. I don't know if she has. All right.
But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evil.
Evident
for the just shall live by faith.
Amen. I mean, how much clearer can the Bible get, folks? It is evident. I mean, think about how the Bible words some of these verses. It's evident, knowing, we concluded. And then people want to go to verses that don't have words like that at all to tell you what salvation is about. Why don't we go to the verses that say, it's evident, knowing, and therefore we conclude. These are the type of verses that we want to go to when we want to establish things that are known and facts. Okay. Here's the next one I want to go to. All right, kiddos, you ready? Jesus broke the commandments. Jackson. That's his fault. So they're unsaved. Come on down. All right, go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. Someone that hasn't read.
He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen. So here's a great verse that explains to us that Jesus Christ never sinned, but he became sin for us, and that was to give us righteousness. So here's the thing. He had to make a transfer All of our sin had to go somewhere, and all the blame had to go somewhere, and all the punishment had to go somewhere. And instead of God just allowing us all to bear our own sin, bear our own consequences, and bear our own punishment, God allowed all of that, and not just for us, for the whole world, to be taken and put on Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, who was perfect and had no sin, and didn't even know, like knew no sin, and had no punishment, he shifted all of his righteousness to us when we believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we see that scapegoat, we see that perfect swapping that's there in the Bible of how his perfection is given to us and our imperfection and our transgression was given to him. And this illustrates true love. True love is taking someone's burden off of them. Not loving someone is giving them a burden. When you don't love someone, you're making their life harder. You're hurting them. You're damaging them. You're causing them to not serve Christ. True love says, you know what? You have a problem. You're hurting. You need something. And you take that on yourself. And this is what God demonstrated for us. Because what did we do to deserve that salvation? Nothing. Jesus, we sinned. We transgressed. We did wrong. And Jesus said, you know what? Even though I've been perfect, I'm still going to come down. I'm just going to bear that burden for you anyways. And this is the ultimate picture of love. We need to bear the sins of others. We need to come along others and encourage them and help them and do good unto others. This is a picture of true love and the true disciples of Jesus Christ. Here's the next statement I got for you kiddos, all right? If I lie tomorrow, I won't be saved. Good on, good job. Come on down. Now, you better not lie tomorrow, okay? But if you're saved, you're still saved, all right? Someone's like, Pastor Shelley's handing all these licenses of sin. I'm handing out candy, okay? Now, maybe, you know, that's up for debate, but I want to go to Romans 5:20.
Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound.
Amen. Good job. All right, I got a few more. We're gonna go rapid fire on these ones. All right. I only want you to raise your hand or read the verse if you haven't done it. Okay. So if you've already done it. No more. You're already saved. We got it, okay? You're good at testing the spirits. If I stop being a good Christian, God still loves me. Nope. Saved. Yep. Romans 8:38. Here, I want you to read the next verse too, okay?
For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Good job. Here's my next one. If I commit a big sin, I will not be saved. Abby. Unsaved. Good job. John 5:24. Tatum? Wait a second, because we want to hear it.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Amen. Good job. I like how all these little kids can read all this Shakespeare English or whatever, you know? It's funny how they're smarter than all these cemetery professors, you know? Got two more. If I make a mistake, I lose eternal life. Back here in the back. Unsaved. Good job. Come on down. Let's go to John 10:28. Do you have it back there?
And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Amen. Good job. You can't lose eternal life. It's eternal, folks. And you can't get out of God's hand. He's stronger than you. Case closed. It's that simple. All right, one more. You become God's son through baptism. Eula, yep. Unsaved, come on down. All right. Let's go to John 1:12. This is an important doctrine because we're Baptists and we have two baptisms this morning. It's important, but we want to make sure it's not how you get saved. Read it again.
But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
Amen. Good job. Good job. Let's go back to 1 John chapter 4 and we'll finish for this morning's sermon. Thank you guys for participating with me. You kids did really, really good. And you know what? This is a skill that, unfortunately, many adults do not have. This is a skill that many Christians do not have. And, you know, it's important that we teach our children to try the spirits and to test the spirits. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter number 2, verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. You know, the Bible is written to you, little children. It's not just written to men. It's not just written to moms. It's written to little children as well. God wants you to know that your sins are forgiven. Now, here's the thing. That doesn't mean that we should just live however we want. It's that we can be comforted with salvation. And that when we screw up, we still know we're headed to heaven. And because we're always going to go to heaven, then we should always be motivated to serve God the most. Because that's where you're going to live the longest. That's where you're going to exist the longest. That's going to be the longest house that you have. That's going to be the longest body that you have. And so there's never a bad time to start serving God. And there's never a bad time to get right with God. There's never a bad time to start doing the right thing. And so even when we make mistakes, even when we do things that are not good, we should try to get on the right path. And we should realize, hey, my sins are forgiven. I'm going to confess and forsake them. And I'm going to move on. I know I have my home in heaven. And we need to make sure, though, that we're taking as many people with us as possible. And, you know, use these verses. You know, maybe you can go back, write them down, try to learn some of them, try to memorize them, because there's some really good verses to use to help people that are confused on salvation to realize salvation's a free gift just by faith. All right, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, so much for all these little children and for the youth. Thank you so much for these parents and all of the people that are here at this conference. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to have a conference today and to read about the Bible, and thank you so much for the free gift of salvation that you've given us. I pray that you would help us to be a church that always emphasizes the gospel, that's always focusing on the free gift, that's making sure that we're not only getting our children saved, but we're also encouraging them to be soul winners and to confront other people about the gospel. And I pray that you would help us to stay wise and to stay a church that's always testing the spirits. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, we have a couple baptisms this morning, but we're going to sing a song before that, and we'll let them get prepared and get ready. So it's in our special handouts. It's I'm in the Lord's army, okay? Now, this one's got some motions to it, and if you kids want to, actually, we can just all stand up if you want, all right? Because it's hard to march when you're sitting, all right? So if you want, everybody can stand up, and we'll be marching in the Lord's army. If we need to, we'll just sing it a couple times. You guys are in the army until we get ready for our baptism this morning, all right? Actually, I'm sorry. I changed my mind. You parents, I want you to sit down so I can see your kids better, all right? Because they can't see. I don't like looking at y'all as much anyways, all right? All the kiddos, all right? They're on the first.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom for the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir! Again, but I want you to sing a little louder this time, all right? One more time.
I may never march in the infantry, die in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom on the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir! So we have a couple baptisms this morning. We have Shelby, who's coming. And remind me, how old is Ms. Shelby this morning?
Six
years old. All right. I'm going to have you stand right here. Stand up. Okay. We're just going to look right here. I'm going to take a picture real quick. All right. And then whenever I say the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, have you hold your nose, fold your other hand. I'll dip you down and bring you back up, okay? Ms. Shelby, have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Congratulations. Good job. Good job. Good job. All right. Let's look right here and just go ahead and give us a smile. We also have Miss Kinsley, and you're 10 years old today. This is her birthday. Yeah? And she's getting baptized on her birthday. Miss Kinsley, have you trusted Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Hold your nose. Buried in the baptism of death, raised to walk in newness of life. Good job. Congratulations. Make sure to congratulate all of our baptisms, and thank you so much for coming. God bless you. You are dismissed.